Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. In 1 Peter 2:2, the Word of God says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." Desire the sincere milk of the Word. Now, sometimes believers will discount this passage because they say to themselves, "I don't want milk, I want meat. I'm a meat Christian, I'm not a milk Christian." But the emphasis of this passage is not on the milk. The emphasis is on the desire. And there's a quality of that desire. As newborn babes desire milk, in this fashion you are to desire, the apostle says, the Word of God. Desire the Word of God as a newborn babe longs for milk. Long for the Word of God. Long for the Word of God. Now, we know that we need the Word of God, but I have a feeling sometimes we know it more academically than experientially. In Psalm 107:20, the Bible says that God sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. God sends His Word and He heals and He delivers. It takes place by the Word. It doesn't take place by religion. It takes place by the Word. It doesn't necessarily take place by salvation. Some people will be delivered or healed from certain things at the point of salvation, but that's not the usual case. Sometimes God's sovereign grace will heal someone just because they got saved. But usually it requires the Word of God and a rich investment of the Word of God in their lives. Why is it that Christians are plagued with the same problems year after year after year, decade after decade? They may even be in good churches, but they don't get delivered from their problems. Well, it starts right here. Everything, absolutely everything, starts with 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, crave the Word of God. Crave it. Let me ask you, do you crave the Word of God? Do you desire it more than the details of your life? Do you desire it more than your job? Do you desire it more than dinner? Do you desire it more than the football game? What do you desire more than the Word of God? That is your idol. And idolatry is sourced in demons. Desire the Word of God more than anything at all. Don't let anything come between you and the Word. What do you do when you hear the Word? What happens when you read your Bible? Does your mind wander? Do you go to other things? You think about the details of the day or what somebody said to you last week? When you listen to the Word, do you listen? Or are you simply able to hear that someone is speaking in the background as you're doing other things? You turn on a message. Do you fiddle? Or do you concentrate with academic concentration? There's a difference between craving the Word and simply knowing that you need it. Knowing that you need it doesn't mean you'll receive it. You might turn on the message. You might go to church. You might turn on Grace Hour. You might put on whatever. But what do you do with it? Knowing that you need the Word is not what delivers people. Many believers never get delivered from serious problems in their lives. And they say to themselves, well, this is the way that I am. They're moody, perhaps. And they never get delivered from moodiness. Or they have bitterness or resentment in their lives. And they never get delivered from bitterness and resentment. Perhaps they have unresolved guilt or unresolved conflicts. And they never get delivered from these things. Why not? Well, it starts right here. He sent His Word to heal them and to deliver them from all their destructions. The Word of God does this in our lives. If I'm someone who can't get healed or who hasn't been healed, not from a physical illness, but from something of the disposition in particular. Physical illnesses may be there for the glory of God. There's a host of reasons why they come. But if I'm someone who simply cannot get healed, perhaps I have anger issues or insecurity issues. And I can't get healed from those issues. And I've been a believer for 15 years and I'm still not able to be healed from those issues. I've got news for you. You've got a problem not with the issues. You have a problem with the Word of God. The problem is that you don't crave the Word. Because if I receive, it will heal me and it will deliver me from my destructions. Perhaps I'm someone who lives in the flesh on a regular basis. The problem is with the Word. When you receive the Word of God, listen in academic discipline. But sometimes I don't feel like it. And sometimes I'm tired. And sometimes I don't feel well because I've had a long day and perhaps I have a bad headache. Sometimes it just takes a little bit of discipline to listen. Sometimes it takes a little bit of effort to hear and to read your Bible, to get something from God. It's interesting. C.T. Studd went out into the heart of Africa. People walked for 2 weeks to hear him preach through the jungle. 2 weeks. How many people would do that? Maybe you would. God bless you if you would. God bless you if you crave the Word in that way. C.T. Studd had people walking for 2 weeks through the bush to hear him preach because they craved the Word of God. I'll bet you this. I'll bet you those people didn't have problems with their nerves. Why? Because they craved the Word of God. And if I crave the Word of God, God will fill me with His Word and will heal me. The Word of God is there for a reason. Love the Word. Love the Word. The Word became flesh. How can I possibly claim to love Him if I don't love His Word? How can I possibly claim to desire Him if I don't desire His Word? If I don't desire Him, what do I desire? Do I desire the world? The details of life? A little extra cash is good. Is that what you desire? Now desire the Word. Desire the Word. Pastors, if any pastors are listening on the internet, desire the Word enough yourself that you preach the full counsel without watering it down for the Sunday morning crowd. The Word of God for the listener is to be a feast, not a Sunday morning breakfast of egg, but a feast. I remember the first time I entered our ministry. Pastor Duff was the pastor, Steve Duff, wonderful pastor. I had visited a few other churches and there was nothing wrong with them. It was a good message. And this isn't a comparison. This is a reflection of the word in the place where you're called. Their message was good, but it didn't fill me. I appreciated it. It was a good sandwich. But when I heard Pastor Duff speak, it's like somebody laid out a buffet of a feast. I was like, there was so much there. And I realized I was feasting on the Word of God. And it wasn't just a sandwich. Pastors, don't hand out sandwiches, hand out feasts. Because that's what we're called to. We're not called to have a starving congregation. We're called to have a well-fed congregation. Hand out a feast. If you're sitting and listening to a message, whether you're in church or at home or in your car or wherever, listen. Don't just turn it on and then do something else, play your crossword puzzle game. No, focus. Listen. Hearing it in the background as noise is useless. Listen. With academic discipline, it builds faith in your heart. Somebody says, I don't have faith. I say to them, you have all the faith you need, but do you have the Word? Do you have categorical doctrine as your frame of reference? Are you faithful? Faithful to be in church, faithful to listen to the Word, faithful to read your Bible, faithful to prayer and meditation. Prayer and meditation doesn't have to be a formal event where you get on your knees. Do you talk to God? Or have you stopped talking to Him like He's some person you met and now you're angry with and you're not talking? Because quite frankly, there's believers on both sides of that issue. You ever say, good morning, God? Acknowledge Him at the beginning of your day. It doesn't have to be long and elaborate, but simply recognizing that He's there. Or are you rude? You ever walk into the place and there's only two of you there and the other person doesn't even acknowledge your presence? And you get that sense of, wow. And you know, you never think a good thing of that. I've never met somebody who's had that happen and say, wow, that was great. They didn't even acknowledge I was there. I wouldn't say hello or anything. I loved it. Does God think that we're rude? Or arrogant? Can you say good morning to Him at least? When He says that He lives in you, that He will never leave you or forsake you. When He says that you need your Word more than anything that is necessary, how necessary is anything in your life? Do you see? God longs for us to receive His Word. In this age, perilous times have come. People love pleasure more than God. Do you love pleasure more than God? What is your pleasure? The details of life are my pleasure. I can't because of the details of life. My kids are my pleasure. I can't. Junior's got the sniffles. What is your pleasure? Are you called? Well, yes, I'm called. Then be a part. Then be a part. If you're called to something, embrace it. If you're called to something, immerse yourself in it. Don't say I'm called and then stand at a distance. That's not God's way of doing it. You see, that type of a person is called but saves something of their own life. There's an area there that they desire to preserve. or I want my comfort, or I want control over my schedule. I want to be able to say no very easily in case I have a better offer. It's not really a better offer, it's just something that's pressing and it's important. More than all things necessary. That's what Job said. More than all things necessary. What is necessary to you? You need the Word of God more. You guys are faithful. I appreciate your faithfulness. You guys are wonderful. And really, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir. But we need the Word. If I don't get the Word of God, I won't be delivered. Perhaps I'll pray if I'm sick and God will heal me of my sickness because He loves me. And that's wonderful. But how well do you know Him? What's your life like? Does your cup overflow? Ask yourself honestly. Don't answer. Does your cup overflow? I think there's a lot of Christians who would say, my cup's pretty empty. Why? When God says that He came to give life more abundantly, and in the original language it says superabundant life, when God says that, why would your cup be empty? Well, it's this detail and it's that person and it's my circumstances. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Oh, we may have excuses. But the funny thing about excuses is they only fool ourselves. They don't fool God. They might fool another person, but I don't stand before you. I stand before God. So if I have an excuse, I'm trying to justify it to myself because it's not justifiable to God. He sees and He knows. He won't accept my excuses. 1 Peter 2:2, crave the Word. Like a newborn babe craves milk, crave the Word. The Bema Seat starts with 1 Peter 2:2. That's it right there. Everything else in my life, and thereby everything else that I'll be rewarded for at the Bema Seat, starts with 1 Peter 2:2. Crave the Word. Crave the Word. When we hear the Word, let's not text or play games or fiddle or whatever it is that some people do. When we hear the Word, let's masticate it. People focus more on their dinner than on the Word in some cases. You know why? Because the dinner makes it in their mouth. This is what it's like in some cases. You have an infant, they have a bottle. Let's say they're weaned from their mother's breast now. They have a bottle. You ever notice how an infant will grab the bottle? And they'll just go to town on that bottle. The Christian who doesn't focus on the Word is similar to this infant who takes the bottle and instead of placing it in their mouth, they start to squirt it on their forehead. A little under their arms, maybe a little on their belly. They're in its presence, but they're not nourished. And they can't figure out why this isn't working for them because they're in its presence. But they're not nourished. And isn't that enough just to be in the presence of the Word? I show up, or I turn the message on, or I open the Bible. Isn't that sufficient? No, it isn't. And sometimes the Christian's own lives testify of that. No, it isn't sufficient. A newborn infant knows enough to stick the little nipple portion of the bottle into their mouth and then to drink. Have you ever wondered why Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me? Because you have to actually internalize it. Mixing faith in Hebrews 4:2, so that the word profits us, means that I internalize it. I don't take a bottle and squirt it in my face and a little under my arms and get my feet too. And don't forget your navel. No, I drink it. I internalize it. I masticate it. I let it nourish me. What does that translate to in practical terms in the Word of God? I focus. I realize it's talking about me and it is for me. And it's not for the next guy, it's for me. And I meditate on it. I don't fiddle as I listen. You ever turn on the message and then you start reading a magazine or a book or whatever else people do? No, you focus. You hear, you focus. You concentrate. But my mind wanders. Academic what? Academic discipline. The less I practice academic discipline, the less I'll have. The more that I practice academic discipline, the more I have. Academic discipline. It's like any other exercise. At first, it may seem difficult, but after you've been doing it a while, it's pretty easy. And it even makes you feel good. People have problems that don't get resolved, not because of other people or circumstances or situations, but because there's an issue with their relationship to the Word of God. And until that issue is resolved, the problems will remain. But once that issue is resolved, He starts healing us from those problems through His Word. I have a serious thing in my life, perhaps, and I can't get any victory over it. Through His Word, you get deliverance. But it's not because I am in the presence of the preaching. It's because I received the preaching. Why do I say preaching? Isn't it about reading my Bible? Yes. You absolutely need that. But faith comes by hearing in Romans 10:17. Some people want to interpret that as, well, anytime I get to the Bible, it's hearing. No, it isn't. That's not what the Word of God says. If you look it up in the original language, it means the auditory sense. Faith comes by the auditory sense. Why is that? Because hearing requires humility. And only the humble will be lifted up by God. And the proud will be resisted by him. Faith comes by hearing. What is the reading of the Bible then? Don't we need that too? Of course, that builds substance. But it doesn't necessarily build faith. There was a famous Bible scholar one time. I have his commentary. Very good Bible scholar. Outstanding. One of the best. He's a brilliant Bible scholar, and he met John Rice. I believe it was John Rice. And he got tremendously convicted because John Rice was a soul winner and this scholar was not. See, he knew the scriptures in and out, but he didn't have enough wisdom from the scriptures to even become a soul winner at that point. And eventually he became a soul winner. Faith comes by hearing, not by reading, but by hearing. Because it requires humility. And when we're humble, God lifts us up. And He lifts us right out of our problems, right out of our situations. No, He may not change your situation, and He may not touch your circumstance, and He may leave the people in place. But He'll deliver you. Because your frame of reference is changed. Because now you know how to think. Because that old sin nature can only be pushed aside by the Word. You can try to pick up your cross till the cows come home. It's not going to work unless it's the Word of God doing it in you. Because there's no possible way for the old sin nature to pick up a cross. It will never do it. But the Word of God can produce a cross. That's how it works. Mm. And when it produces a cross, it pushes aside the old sin nature, almost like it wasn't there eventually. Yeah, once in a while you might still slip, so you practice rebound when you fail. But the Word of God will push it aside. And these things, the roots of bitterness, anger, mood disorders, personality issues, insecurities, what have you. All these different things will get pushed aside by the Word of God. You may have a sin nature, but you don't have to live in it. And you're not going to not live in it by your own effort. The sin nature is not going to have an effort to not live in the sin nature. But frankly, unless there's a healthy diet of the Word of God with academic discipline and concentration, that's all you're going to have. Because you're not going to have an alternative. Sin nature's in your DNA. But the Word of God comes from the Lord. And unless you receive it, all you're left with is your sin nature, even if you're a Christian. The Holy Spirit may be living in you, but if you don't speak His language, you're not going to communicate with Him. You might get some impressions here and there. You know, I've been to foreign countries and I knew how to smile and people understood the smile, but I couldn't tell you what they were saying. It's like that with God. Oh, I may be able to get a vague impression just by virtue of His presence inside of me, but I'll never know what He has to say. His words give life. His words give life. What's the condition of your cup? His words give life. Are you empty or full? His words give life. Be filled with His Word if you want to be filled with the Spirit. That's really all it means. Because how do you get full of the Spirit? Isn't that kind of a vague term? Okay, go ahead, get full of the Spirit. And you get some people who think they can actually work that up and they do weird things. But the fact of the matter is, if I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it simply means I'm filled with the Word of God. And through that Word of God, the Holy Spirit has His way in my life. But it's not going to happen apart from the Word. The Word of God says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If I have the mind of Christ, by virtue of Christ residing in me, but I don't have the Word, then I'll still rely on my natural mind, my natural thinking. I won't have the choice. Because albeit Christ is in me, His mind is not my frame of reference. And it makes me unstable in all my ways. How are your ways? Well, one of the fastest way to know is, how are your emotions? David said, Lord, you've tried my reins. And he even tempted him to do that. God, try my reins. He's talking about emotions. One of the fastest way to know how your ways are doing is, what are your emotions doing? Why am I bringing that up? It's not to condemn. Here's the thing. If you hear a message and it touches on a problem in your life, don't react negatively toward the message. This is why you do it. You go to the doctor because something hurts. The doctor says to you, you have a broken leg. And then you react at the doctor for telling you you have a broken leg. Well, then why did you go to the doctor? Because my leg hurt. So the doctor told you why it's hurt. Don't react at him. He told you why your leg hurts, that it's broken, because there's a way to fix it. And he's offering you the solution. But people hear a message and it touches on a problem in their life, and they're negative toward the message because it touched on a problem in their life. If it touches on a problem in my life, it means that it has a way of dealing with my problem. So instead of reacting at the message which is sent to heal you, embrace the message and make some faith grace adjustments. And if one of those problems is that you don't receive the Word of God very well, then make an adjustment and start with your volition receiving the Word of God very well. But you don't know my schedule. And here's the thing, there's 24 hours in each day, every single day. Yes, but so many of those hours are occupied by things that I have to do. What is more necessary? Well, you don't understand. What do you mean, I don't live? Is that what you're saying? I don't understand. I don't live? I don't need food? I don't need to pay bills? I don't have responsibilities? That's why I don't understand. I have no responsibilities. I understand perfectly well. Perhaps better than you wish I would. What I understand is there's 24 hours in every single day. And although responsibilities are important, the Word of God is more important. Alright, let's put it this way. You're here for what? 70 and out, the Bible says? If you have some strength, maybe you get more than 70. Modern medicine can sure help with that. Hopefully you have much more than 70, unless the rapture comes, in which case I hope you're there at the rapture, not more. Alright, 70 and out, or however long God gives you. And then what? Then is eternity. There are certain things that I wish I could get believers to really grasp. That one of the major purposes for being left on earth is to prepare you for eternity. Do we really understand that this 70 and out is our equipment room? Some people walk into the equipment room and sit down and just kind of look around and scratch their heads and say, now what? Other people walk into the equipment room and they grab everything they can find. Grab everything you can find. Now by that I mean this: take advantage of all your opportunities. And it starts with your opportunities to receive. Because that's what you're going into eternity with. Some people say you can't take anything with you. That's not entirely true. Most things you can't take with you. You can't take a car with you. Don't worry about that. You'll get a horse. And it's better than your car. It's better gas mileage. But there are things you can take with you. And the first thing you can take with you is the word stored in your heart. That you can take with you. You can take responses in faith with you. You can take the fruit of the Spirit with you. You can take the souls that you've contributed to winning to Christ with you. You can take the rewards of the cups of cold water with you. You can take the eternal weight of glory that you receive for enduring in a momentary light affliction. You can take that with you. You can take the results of suffering with Christ, thereby reigning with Him. You can take that with you. You know what you can't take with you? Your details. You can't take football with you. You can't take the car and its oil change with you. You can't take dinner with you. So there are some things you can take with you. But the amazing thing is that people trade the things that they can take with them and they give them away to have the things that will remain here. What great loss. Don't trade those things. Hoard those things. Hoard souls. Hoard the fruit of the Spirit. Hoard faith responses. Hoard the Word of God in your heart. Hoard them, because you can take them with you. And when you get there at the Bema Seat, they turn into eternal rewards. And trust me, you will want every reward you can get. That's why God made such an issue of the rewards. Take it with you. Don't waste your time on the stuff that remains. Spend your time, your emphasis, your focus, your energy on the things you can take with you. And the rest, you just don't worry about. Amen?